Can tech trace the spread of coronavirus? Maybe. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. One time-tested way to control the spread of viruses is called contact tracing. Public health officials track down everyone that an infected person has been in contact with and isolate them. And tech companies believe they can make that process easier and faster. Apple and Google have partnered on an app, and if you download it, it will constantly ping other phones around you using Bluetooth. If you test positive for the virus, you notify the app, and then everyone who has been near you will get a notification. And it does sound like sort of a clever tech solution. But some experts say it's too much tech, not enough solution. Ross Anderson is a professor of security engineering at University of Cambridge.
The idea is that people would have an app on their phone, and the app would then use Bluetooth to determine whether other people had been nearby. Typically, they're looking for people who've been within 6 feet of you for 5 minutes or more. And that means that if somebody tests positive or calls in sick, they can look at your phone and they can identify all the other phones that have been nearby. That at least is the theory.
Let's talk about the technology first and then the behavior. How would that technology work and what are its limitations?
Bluetooth has a number of limitations because it wasn't designed as a radio ranging technology. And so if you set your Bluetooth signal strength so that you're reasonably confident that you'll identify people who have been within 2 meters of you, you will also, with a fair amount of probability, find people who are 4 meters or 5 meters away. Mm-hmm. You will also make false contacts with people who are standing, you know, maybe 4 or 5 or 6 meters away from you in a supermarket queue. Mm-hmm. Or people who are in the apartment above you or the apartment below you. And so you end up getting a whole lot of false positives.
So that would mean potentially your phone could be pinging all the time, saying you were in contact with someone who's tested positive for coronavirus, when really you might have just been at the same stoplight or the same building.
This has been a serious problem with the app that Alibaba has deployed in China. Hmm. And people's apps have been turning yellow or red because they were on a train that went through a town that had a whole lot of coronavirus patients.
And then on top of that, the system that's being proposed in the US by tech companies is entirely opt-in. Presumably that could make it less effective, right?
The system being proposed by tech companies in the US and elsewhere is usually based on an app that they had in Singapore called Trace Together. Mm-hmm. However, once you go to an opt-in model where people have to run the app on their phone, you find that only a few people do it. And in Singapore, they got something like 12% of the population running this app. Mm. Now, the implication of that is that if only 12% are running at each end, then the likelihood that you'll pick up an event of interest is 12% squared.
Right.
And this means that 98% of the events of interest aren't going to be picked up. In addition to the big false alarm rate, you're getting a huge missed alarm rate. You're getting very little signal and an awful lot of noise.
Well, and there was 12% use in Singapore where people might be, I mean, in the US, people are a little more distrusting, right?
Well, yes, I think that Singapore's quite different from America because there everybody at least has to pretend that they love the government.
Right.
Whereas in America, people are more individualistic. So if you can get 12% in Singapore, then, you know, good luck getting 5% in America. Now, Americans living in a market economy are also going to figure out, well, what's in this for me? And if I run an app like this on my phone, then the chances are that the only effect it's going to have on me is that at some time in the future, the phone will ping because of a false alarm and say, hey, Russ, you've got to go into self-isolation for 14 days because you were standing next to somebody yesterday who has since reported that he's got a new cough.
Right. Is it inevitable, though, that we are also thinking, we American consumers at least, what's in it for these tech companies?
I think one shouldn't worry about that too much because the proposal from Google and Apple takes the Singaporean proposal and makes it even more anonymous in that what they propose to do is build into their operating systems a facility whereby it will do this Bluetooth pinging, but it will change the phone's identity every quarter of an hour or so. And this means that it's very, very hard for governments, even in authoritarian countries like, say, Hungary or Egypt, to abuse the Apple phones or Android phones to increase state surveillance still further. And that's something that the tech companies care about. But on the other hand, changing the phone's ID every 15 minutes is going to make it much less useful to the epidemiologists. And in the UK, we've had an attempt to do some kind of middle ground, whereby the idea is that the phone IDs will change only once a day, and there will be a means of linking the successive phone IDs up together. And this means that the epidemiologists can do much more fine-grained contact tracing, mm-hmm. and they can distinguish between a phone that calls in sick when it's never been near any other phone that called in sick, and another phone which has 20 times in the last 2 days been near someone who actually had a positive diagnosis. So they can run the system in a much more nuanced and potentially effective way. But even with the British proposal, there are such growing concerns about privacy and also growing concerns about effectiveness, because again, how many people in Britain will run this? Probably not enough. That this strikes me as likely to be a non-starter.
Right. Why is there, do you think, such a rush to come up with a tech solution? Is it just sort of techno-chauvinism? Is it, you know, our instinct toward any port in a storm?
Well, it's natural for everybody to try and work out, how can I possibly help? If they're a businessman, how can I make some money out of this? Or if they're a government bureaucrat, how can I build an empire out of this?
Right.
But there's a big risk in this, because if you're a national leader, then you may be tempted to make wrong decisions or to duck hard decisions if somebody waves at you some whizzy app that promises to enable you to avoid the pain. Offering false hope from an app that is unlikely to work is not, I think, something that's helpful in the circumstances.
Ross Anderson is a professor of security engineering at University of Cambridge. And now for some related links. Anderson wrote a good long paper about this that goes into a lot of detail. You can find a link to that piece on our website, marketplacetech.org. But this idea of tech-based contact tracing is spreading fast, whether it works or not. And not just as a free tool, like Apple and Google and some universities are offering. The big tax and consulting firm, PwC, just released a contact tracing product for businesses, promising that it will help those businesses build confidence and trust with their workforce. Just wait for that email from the HR department. I told you somebody was going to make us use this. And I don't want to neglect the other hugely important aspect that needs to be in place before any conversation about contact tracing can even begin. And that is testing. Although the US has ramped up its testing capabilities, it is still far below where we need to be to even identify enough infected people to make contact tracing notifications effective. In fact, Politico reports that the number of commercial tests being analyzed in the US actually fell by 30% over this past week. The reasons seem to range from shortages of actual testing swabs to narrow testing criteria, to honestly, I don't even know at this point, except that according to the Wall Street Journal, even the task force of business leaders that President Trump convened to talk about ways to reopen the economy had basically one message in their first phone call. Without a massive increase in testing, you can open anything you want, but people aren't going to feel safe going there. And here's what else we're watching in tech. The end of the Jedi saga. Nope, not the movies. A Defense Department inquiry found that the government's $10 billion cloud computing deal with Microsoft was fairly awarded and was not tainted by pressure from President Trump. Trump had publicly complained when Amazon was the frontrunner for the Jedi contract, because he hates Jeff Bezos. The DoD's inspector general said it didn't find any evidence of improper interference, although it also said the White House basically refused to cooperate with its investigation and told officials not to answer any questions about the deal. Facebook and Instagram have been trying to come up with ways to help small businesses, which is good. On Wednesday, Instagram announced features to make it easier for businesses to include links to gift cards, purchase options, and fundraisers in profiles and posts. CNBC notes that small businesses are a crucial aspect of Facebook and Instagram's business also. They're active users, they provide content and resources people really want, and a lot of them are advertisers. So think of this move as a virtuous cycle for everyone involved. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.